This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
And that's a shame. I hate the whole format for the postseason. I've mentioned that before, but that's another story. It is what it is. You have to deal with it. You have to play. You've got to win. In this situation, you have to overcome sitting out with a bye and then be sharp and win 3 out of 5 games. And that's a challenge for any team. And, you know, ask anybody. Ask the Yankees. Ask the Dodgers. It's tough.
Yeah, these are the rules that you agreed to. I mean, I hate to say it that way, but this was the MLB and the MLBPA and everything else that it was collectively bargained. And while as fans, we may sit and look at this thing and go, okay, you've played 162 games to have 5 games determine your season. This is grand.
Yeah.
This is it. This is the world we're living in. And we'll have, you know, hopefully the Guardians advance, but no matter how far they advance, we'll have an offseason to figure out how to do it better. So that's just the truth.
So we're going to play second-guess Stephen Vogt. Whether we're going to second-guess him or not, that's what we're going to determine. Let me just throw out some facts first and foremost. The Guardians have scored in just 2 of 26 innings in this series. They didn't need the 9th inning in Game 1, but they scored 5 runs in the first inning of Game 1. They've scored 2 runs since then.
Oof.
And so that's 2 runs over the last 25 innings. They've gone 20 straight innings without scoring a run. In the series, they've scored a total of 7 runs, which is one more than the Tigers have scored, actually.
For you, which is nice.
Which is kind of strange. Hits by game, 8, 3, and 6. The team is hitting .183 so far in a 3-game series. It is the second lowest team batting average in the postseason. With that thought in mind, Stephen Vogt. Strategy, Game 3. There was tons of it going on in Game 3 between the two managers. So let's get to it.
Time for Baskin and Phelps to second-guess the manager.
Dano, Stephen Vogt, all season long, he said it again yesterday. We put together a lineup to beat the starting pitcher, who yesterday was Keter Montero, rookie right-hander who had pitched well, I think as a rookie for the Tigers, had pitched well against the Guardians earlier on, had pitched a little bit in Game 1. And so Stephen Vogt came out yesterday with an all left-handed hitting lineup except for Lane Thomas. Yay or nay?
I know all season that had been their mantra. The problem is when someone tells you who they are, believe them. When someone tells you that their game plan is bullpen chaos or pitching chaos, believe them. Especially when you have enough of a track record with A.J. Hinch to know that he means it. He did it through the Astro series. Outside of Scooble, he's done it through this series. So, yeah, I'm going to second guess him because he should have looked at it and saw TBD and saw that the guy had flat out told you bullpen chaos or pitching chaos. I can't remember the exact terminology. It's Tarek Skubal and pitching chaos. Believe him. He told you who he was.
So you have an issue with the starting lineup he put out there?
Yes.
All right. I don't have an issue with the starting lineup because I know the approach that he was taking. But with that in mind, there's something else that this is going to take me to point two.
Time for Baskin and Phelps to second guess the manager.
We're going
to
get annoyed by that before we're done with this segment. 216-474-0092. Let us know if the little drop's going to annoy you.
No.
Here's where you might have an issue. So you go with the entire left-handed hitting lineup, but some of the guys were switch hitters, obviously. You go with that. But then Cater Montero throws six first-inning pitches. Six. That's it. As a right-handed pitcher, he gets boom, boom, boom. He gets the first three guys out. And the first three guys were Kwan, Manzardo, and Jose.
Yep.
You get him out. Then they pull him and bring in a left-hander. It's like, okay, you entirely, if you're A.J. Hinch, you flipped the lineup.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, my God, now we've got all these lefties going up against a lefty. This is not what we had in mind. And you bring in Brant Herder, who went, what, 3 1/3, I think. This is where I have the issue. So you get down to Will Brennan in the lineup, and you pinch hit for Will Brennan in the second inning before he even gets an at-bat in the game. And you bring in Johnkenzie Noel. You knew Herder wasn't going to go the entire rest of the way. So you pinch hit your right-hander for Will Brennan at that point, which takes up one of your bench guys. Mm-hmm. It takes him off your bench, and it puts Will Brennan completely out of the game. Will Brennan on the season hitting 143 against lefties, but only in 35 at-bats. He hadn't been productive, no home runs, two runs batted in against righties, pretty good, 278, and all of his power numbers coming against right-handers in many more at-bats, 295 at-bats against righties compared to only 35 against lefties. At some point, he was going to bring in another right-handed pitcher. I think he lifted Brennan too soon. More so than that, brought in Johnkenzie Noel too soon. And then Dan did the same thing with David Fry and Kyle Manzardo. And Kyle was much better against left-handed pitching than Brennan was. I don't think I would have made those moves that soon.
110% agree with you. What happened in that first inning was the exact inverse of what I said in the beginning, which was A.J. Hinch listened to what Stephen Vogt said of exactly what you said all too well, which was, hey, we build our lineup for the starting pitcher. A.J. Hinch heard that, saw the evidence, and believed it.
After six pitches, he lifts a guy who had no issues.
I watched the Milwaukee Brewers lift Wade Miley after one batter. Like, just so that the Dodgers had to do the same exact thing.
When was that?
2018?
Hmm.
2017?
It was 18, from what you told me earlier. I was just teeing you up for that.
It was before the three-batter. It's just proof I need to go outside. It was before the three-batter minimum rule, because that's what I remembered more than anything. But, like, this isn't brand new. This isn't something new and shiny that just got pulled out that someone revolutionized baseball. What happened was you told them what you're going to do, and the other manager believed you and caught you. You got busted in the James Woods, ooh, a piece of candy, ooh, a piece of candy, ooh, a piece of candy. That's what happened.
Family Guy reference right there.
You got busted right there.
But I don't know if you get busted if you leave your lineup there.
I agree with you. I would have left it. You started these guys for a reason, and you can't live life with this much of a platoon split, or else this is going to happen to you every game that matters.
And after he pinch hit for Brennan in the second and Manzardo in the third, he was left with two guys on the bench. So he had only two moves he could make later on, and he used them both to pinch hit for Bo Naylor and with Angel Martinez, and then had Austin Hedges coming in, and they were done. There, nobody else, no other moves you could make, And Hedges ended up making the last out of the game on three pitches.
Right, because you had nowhere else you could go.
At that point, you were in trouble anyway because you had two outs and you were down three.
Exactly.
All right, so that was an interesting thing. Pitching-wise.
Time for Baskin and Phelps to second-guess the manager.
Alex Cobb got the start. This one's weird to me. Alex got the start. He went three innings. He wasn't overly sharp, but he wasn't bad. He gave up two runs on three hits, and he walked one. In a regular season game, you probably let him go four or five. See how it goes. Maybe let him settle in a little bit. He hadn't pitched since September 1st. But A, you gave him the start. B, you lifted him after three. Do you have any issues with either one of those?
No, your bullpen has been absolute nails. You ride the bullpen that got you there one time through the lineup to save you from seeing the underbelly of that bullpen. I'm in. I thought Cobb pitched fine. He had some hard hit balls, but he had him hit in the dirt, which is what Alex Cobb does, hard hit balls in the dirt. So I thought he pitched fine. I thought they handled it well. No second guessing.
The note that I put down here for myself, just so I knew where I was going, I wrote, hard to argue with taking Cobb out. And the reason why, the bullpen had been terrific all year. The bullpen was terrific yesterday.
Bullpen was really good yesterday.
Really good. Mm-hmm. The bullpen gave up just one run on two hits, and both of those hits were against the one run against Eli Morgan. Everybody else shut him down. Not even a hit allowed by the bullpen. Only guy in the bullpen who gave up a hit was Eli. And so you went from down 2-0 to down 3-0. You could make a debate, but I don't think it's a good argument that, okay, well, if you were only going to start Cobb and let him go three after not pitching since September 1st, why was he even on the playoff roster? Because it might have been a gamble because of his fingers and everything else. But I don't think you can even do that. You could have put Lively on there. Well, what would you have done with Ben yesterday?
Probably
the same thing. You could have started Cantillo. He came in late and was fine in relief. And you could have started him. Okay, well, he was fine in relief. You could have started Gavin Williams. What would Gavin have done? Would he have been any better than Cobb? Maybe, but he could have got smashed.
He's been more Jekyll and Hyde than
right,
Alex Cobb.
Yeah. Right. So I don't really have any issues with what Stephen Vogt did with starting Alex Cobb yesterday.
I was perfectly fine with it. I was perfectly fine with when they yanked him. I thought, of all the things, that one probably turned out the best. That and his bullpen usage. I have no questions on the bullpen usage.
I agree. We're second-guessing the manager. We think we're maybe out of second guesses. One or two more coming up. We'd love your thoughts. Did Stephen Vogt manage the game properly yesterday? 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps with Menigan here on The Fan. Again, I think Stephen has done a terrific job all year long. Was he outmanaged yesterday? Or did guys just not come through in the same type of situations that he's been in all year? You answer that one. 216-474-0092. I'll say he maybe made preemptive strikes. Dan and I are second-guessing the manager. The only thing yesterday, I just think if you're going to go ahead and put your starting lineup out there, and you know A.J. Hinch has already told you that he's going to use a bullpen game. Now, Montero had pitched nine innings in a game this year. He pitched a nine-inning game against Colorado and was terrific. He pitched well in the start against the Guardians. I'm sure they probably thought he was coming back out for the second inning where you're going to get your lefty-righty matchup. Instead, boom, A.J. Hinch yanks him after six pitches and completely flipped the Guardians lineup around. And Stephen Vogt, boom, immediately. Will Brennan didn't even get an at-bat. Okay? That brings one guy. That takes one move later you can make off the table. And then, boom, as soon as Kyle Manzardo, who had been one of the more productive hitters for this team in September, as soon as he comes up again, boom, here comes David Fry. So there's two of your more productive hitters, and you only have one of them now in David Fry available to you the rest of the game. I think he made those moves too soon.
I understand playing the percentages. I understand playing the splits. I understand all of the numbers and all of that stuff that go into it. I get it. If you're Will Brennan and you started a playoff game,
yeah,
and got yanked before you even had to swing a bat,
yeah,
if I'm Stephen Vogt, I hope and pray that that guy trusts me 110%, because, boy, there are a lot of people who would get into that kind of a situation, and you might lose them for not only the season but for the future by saying, hey, this is your big moment in a playoff series. Just kidding. LOL. Take a seat.
Yeah. He said afterwards I get it. You know, it was the best move for the team and everything else. He took the high road on that. And let's be fair, all season long, he didn't hit against left-handed pitching.
Correct.
He had 295 at-bats against righties, only 35 at-bats against left-handed pitching.
Correct. They had been playing the platoon splits with him all season.
And he wasn't good against lefties. He hit 143 in those 35 at-bats.
I understand all of it.
But I still wouldn't have lifted him. I'd have. And A.J. Hinch, and he used six pitchers yesterday, went righty, lefty, righty, lefty, righty, lefty. Just kept bouncing them back and forth. And at that point, you know, there weren't too many moves that Stephen Vogt could make, because the only bat that he had left on the bench was Angel Martinez. You're not going to consider Austin Hedges a bat. And you pinch hit for Bo Naylor. It was tough. I thought A.J. Hinch did a terrific job. And I think Stephen Vogt acted too quickly on those pinch hits.
I think so, too. I understand the logic behind it. I can't state enough. I understand the logic. You got outmanaged.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
He told you who they were, and you didn't believe him.
Wayne's in Los Angeles, California. Hello, Wayne.
How are you, Wayne?
Good day, guys. How are you?
We are okay.
All righty. I'm hanging in there. Thank you. I tend to agree with you guys. Manager did get out coached yesterday. He showed his youth, and I believe not only in terms of just putting his lineup out there, But I also think that inspiring his players to settle down didn't take place either. It looked like everybody's going up there trying to hit a home run. So I think all around he did get out coached yesterday, and I also want to say he did in Cleveland as well. He's got to settle our guys down and get them to relax and produce at the plate. This is insane. 20 innings, no runs? That's my comment.
All right, Wayne, thank you very much. Our buddy Paul Hoynes from The Plain Dealer wrote a really nice analysis. It was really good.
It's a great piece.
And Hoynes's point, I think, is well taken. You manage games 2 and 3, and when we talked about second-guessing the manager in game two. We didn't. We thought, okay, we understand. You brought Class A in to get an extra out. That happens in the postseason. It didn't work, but we understood what he was doing. Hoynsey's point was, man, you're managing differently than you manage in the regular season, which maybe sets a bad tone and gives the players a different feel, a different thought that maybe is something that you shouldn't have done there. Jim is in Strongsville. Jim.
All right, Jim.
Hey, guys. Listen, I mean, yes, is he man? I would not have done some of the things that he did. But I'm sorry. At the end of the day, he's not up there hitting the ball. This team is who this team has been. The bottom half of this order has been all year, hit or miss, all year long. And we act. You guys were like, well, somebody was hot during certain points of the season to carry. Who carried them when they were scuffling for like 2 weeks? They went through 2 weeks twice this year where they scuffled big time. I'm sorry, they're just at a point right now where they're scuffling. I'm not going to cut the players. And Hoynsey, I like Hoynsey, but listen, okay, so he's changing things. Guess what? It's not changing the batter's routines. It's not changing their approach when they go up to the plate. These guys are professionals. This is what they do. This is what they've done since they were little kids. I'm not going to cut them slack because, well, the manager, what do you want to do? You want to go up there and hold their hands when they go up to bat? I'm sorry, guys. It's time you hit the ball. If I get it, guys struggle, and they're struggling now, and that happens. But I'm not going to blame the manager. He could have put them in better positions, yes. But you know what? It's not his fault that they're not hitting. I don't know any sport, like, and you guys are talking about. I can't even talk about any of the pitching decisions he's made because guess what? When you haven't scored any runs in two games, I don't care how well you pitch, you're not going to win. So,
Jim, the only thing that I have an argument with, it wasn't even the lineup to start the game. Dan didn't like the lineup. I don't have an issue with the lineup. I just think he pinch hit way too early. You pinch hit in the second inning. You pinch hit in the third inning. And to me, that's you're digging into your bench when you could use those guys later on in the game where it might be a different situation. I'd have let Will Brennan hit, and I would have let Kyle Manzardo stay where he was. That would have left me with David, because Manzardo had actually hit left-handers tolerably during September, and he was one of the best hitters in September. You immediately took one of your best hitters out of the game for the rest of the game after just one at-bat with Manzardo.
I agree. My only point is I'm not going to let the players off the hook for not hitting.
And you're right, Jim.
110% agree.
Yep, Jim, 110% you're absolutely agree. Right on that. Jim, thank you very much.
Yeah, they're not hitting.
Harvey's in North Olmsted.
Their runners in scoring position numbers are horrid.
Yeah, it's been awful. Harvey.
Oh, this is a complete disaster, guys. Let's face it. Look, he let A.J. Hinch manage Indians' bench with lefty-righty, and then he had nobody left, like you said. So what's wrong with this guy? He's a rookie manager, but you can't make stupid moves like that. Am I? This is maddening. Now this reminds me of the Browns' incompetence. Can we at least hope for the Cavs?
Harvey, thank you. It goes back to this, Dan. Let your guys play.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And only yesterday, again, man, I think Steven has done a great job on this team. Great job. I'm glad he's the manager. But yesterday, I wouldn't have yanked Manzardo.
I wouldn't have either.
And I wouldn't have yanked Brennan, if you'd have gone through and Brennan hadn't gotten a hit, I might not have let Will Brennan get a second at bat.
Correct.
If there was a lefty on the mound next time he came up. But I would have allowed him to have at least one.
You treated Will Brennan like a defensive replacement.
Yeah, you pinch hit in the second inning.
You treated Will Brennan like it was a defensive replacement in the ninth inning. You turned Will Brennan into what we thought Miles Straw would be if he made this roster.
Was interesting. The fact that
drives me nuts.
The fact that Hinch yanked his pitcher after six pitches.
If somebody tells you who they are, believe them.
Wow. Anthony's in Cleveland Heights. Anthony.
How are you, Anthony?
Okay, so yeah, I gotta disagree. Where do I start? You gotta pill, you know, Brennan, I don't understand this thing about you. Brennan, what is he, fragile? He's got a 371 ops against lefties. That's it. He's out. You're out. You know, hit lefties better next year. So I agree with.
But if you felt that badly about him, should you have even started him, or should you have started Junkenzie Noel and then had Brennan on the bench you could use later?
Well, the only thing I'll respond to there is that Hinch was surely going to make, you know, Bode even said we were not surprised. I believe he was not surprised. I'm sure Hinch, we don't have to get so too deep into it, that Hinch would have made moves based on that decision. So, you know, I don't have a, you know, Manzardo, I would have pulled Manzardo. Fry had, you know, his hit in the seventh had an .800 expected batting average. If it goes 6 inches to the right, there's no way Verling is getting to it, and it's two runs. So, you know,
drive to third.
Yeah, that thing was rocketed. You're 100% right. Yep.
You know, the expected batting average for the team for the game was .254. It was .194 for the Tigers. They got marginally lucky yesterday. You know, it very much concerns me when you start making decisions based on results. That's what I'm saying. That's my opinion. The series is not over.
Absolutely.
I did not have any problems with the decisions Vogt made yesterday. I think they were the right decisions in each case. They didn't work out.
All right, Anthony. Thank you.
And Anthony, you and I think similarly when it comes to this. And look at all those different things. And you're 100% right. Like, yes, if David Fry's ball was a little bit one direction, a little bit the other, even a little bit higher than it was, we're having a completely different conversation today than we would have been. And all of those little things in between there.
Except I still think you pinch it for those guys too soon.
It felt very much like A.J. Hinch came in with a plan. He set a trap. The manager fell right into the trap.
Kind of feels that way. But Anthony just said something. The series isn't over. What are the chances that the Guardians come back in this series? Well, when you talk about chances, we talk about Nick Costos, our Odyssey Sports betting insider. He's next right here on Baskin and Phelps.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.